Before I get started, I want to thank my teammates for coming out. I thank them for their support. That really means a lot to me. And we're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'll give you a minute to turn there. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house as a body of believers. Lord, I pray that you use me as your mouthpiece to speak to someone. Lord, I pray that anybody in here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior will come to know you tonight, God. Lord, I don't care if I'm speaking to one soul, God, let it be spoken to them. Let it say something to them. This is about you, not about me. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I want to focus on two parts on this verse tonight. And the first part is where it says, you've been chosen to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's saying, this is for, like, you have been chosen to be a soldier. You've been chosen to be in the army of God. And, you know, you're here to fight for the Lord. You're here to take land for the Lord and to fight the enemy. And I know in Bell County we got a lot of poverty. We got drug problems in other surrounding counties. And us as Christians that are already saved don't need to just stand here and watch this happen. We got to take a stand for the Lord, and we don't just got to let the enemy come in and destroy our area. We got to come in and restore the land for the Lord. And, you know, Pastor John Hagee said that Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said some Christians just read, we wrestle not, which would mean we don't fight. But, you know, when you're in an army, you don't just stand there with no weapons, and you don't just watch the enemy kill your other men spiritually. So that verse says what we as Christians are fighting against. And in principality, starting with that, are wicked spirits that control regions and rest over nations. And I think we can all agree that in America, we're not necessarily a nation towards God anymore. That a lot of our government has turned their back on God. And you can see it through the government. You can see what's happening. You might not be able to see it here, but look at other places around us. And the devil is called Beelzebub in Matthew chapter 12, which just pretty much means he's the leader of evil. And you may be like, well, how can all these evil spirits and these wicked spirits come into places? Well, that's because that nation denies the gospel of God. It denies Jesus. And not just the U.S., but several other countries do this. But us, you know, America has been looked upon as an example for a long time. And in one of my classes, we're learning about something called the American Dream. And some people that came here wanted this to be a nation founded on God. Well, now it's not necessarily founded on God anymore. We have allowed the enemy to come in and let him creep in and take control over our government, which now represents us to the rest of the world, which says to the world, we don't have to have God anymore. We need God. We need to support our government in prayer, because, you know, we might not agree with everything that our president does, but the only way he's going to change is through prayer from us. That goes back to just standing here and watching the enemy take control. We can't complain about our president turning back his back on God, our nation, unless we're praying for them. Then powers was the next one in that verse, and that's ones that rest over smaller things. That's wicked spirits that rest over things such as cities or counties. And believe it or not, the enemy has come into Bell County too. And through the spirit of religion, drug addiction, and poverty. Them are just a few. And you may say, well, how is religion an evil spirit? Well, religion is things such as different denominations. And when you start to divide things into the denominations, it's division in the unity of Christ. We got to be unified. And when you start getting into religion, you're creating division. And then drug addiction, of course. We're one of the top counties in the state for drug problems. Us, again, we don't need to sit here and accept that. We don't need to accept that. We need to say, hey, we're going to change this for the Lord. Then one of the smaller things is rulers of the darkness of this world. These spirits control homes, and they can be like divorce. I know several of my friends have divorced, and that's tough. And that's a way that the enemy can have control over their life. And, you know, the only way that you're going to find something to replace that in your heart is Jesus. And also, it's generational curses, and you may say, what's that? That's where, you know, your father or your grandfather might have been an alcoholic or addicted to drugs. And so many people in this area get in this negative way, wrong way of thinking about these things, that if their father was an alcoholic, they got to be one. That's not true, because the enemy uses stuff like that to lie to you and make you believe that. But, you know, once you get in your head that there's hope through Jesus and that he can help you come through this stuff, then you have taken control over the enemy in that part of your life. Amen. Then the smallest of these is spiritual wickedness. That's sins that take control over person's life, gossip, murder, and gossip is one that might be overlooked. So, you may be close with God, but then you may sin once, then sin again, but down the road it becomes easier to sin. And gossip. That allows the enemy to come through your mouth with the words you speak. Like, you can speak positive or you can speak negative. So, gossip is a negative that the enemy uses. And you may say, like, why do we as Christians, or why do I go through this stuff? And when you're saved, the enemy sees you as a threat. When you go through these things, the enemy sees you as a threat. He actually sees your potential. But he wants us to feel like we're small, like we're nothing, that we can't do nothing. But when we get in our heads that revelation of who we are through Jesus and the power we have in him, then we've defeated him in that area too. And also, such as a divorce, if you're saved and your parents got a divorce, then that's something you may say, why does God allow all these things into my life? He's testing your faith. And if you're going through something, keep this in mind, that if you're saved, you're trusting the Lord, He will not let you face something that you can't handle. But you got to remember to trust Him, to keep your faith in Him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 7 through 8 says, casting all your care upon Him, talking about Jesus, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that verse, the first part about you take Jesus all your cares, that's saying all the troubles and everything you're going through life, give it to Him. You know, don't try to fight everything by yourself. You're going to need help through Jesus. So he's saying, I'm there for you, but we might not want to give it to Him because we think sometimes, like the Pharisees, we get in this mood that we've been close to Jesus all our life. We've been in church all our lives, so we feel like we're big, and we get big-headed, and then before we know it, we're backsliding. And we see that thinking that we don't need Him anymore. But and then it says, be sober, be vigilant. And then it goes on saying, the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This is talking about the enemy watches for people like this. He's watching for people that is a threat or are weak. And he will try to attack them to make them turn their back on God. And he may do stuff like this with sickness and such as cancer. Cancer is a very hard thing to go through. And he might use this to say, for you to turn and look at God and say, how are you going to heal me from this? Because a lot of times when you're sick or you're going through something, it's very hard to believe you can be healed. So, but that's why the enemy will like to attack us through our health a lot of times. Then he may use discouragement and fear. And fear and discouragement has a lot to do with our minds. The enemy will like to attack our minds because a lot of times out of Christians we can pray and everything, but a lot of us have a weak spot, and that's our mind. So he'll try to get through us at thoughts of doubt and disbelief. And the reason this verse says be sober and be vigilant is sober is calm. Don't worry when stuff like this is thrown at you. Like when the enemy throws these things at you, it's going to be okay. Just be patient and trust in Jesus. And vigilant, be watchful, be attentive. Watch for these things to come. Pray. That's one way to be watchful. Pray so, you know, when stuff like this happens, you don't just fall apart. But the good thing is, even when we go through these things, we don't just fight them with whatever. We have an armor. In Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18, it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in all the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication, and spirit, and watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This verse is saying that, you know, God has laid us out something to help protect us in spiritual warfare. And we can, like, relate this to, like, Greek and Roman armies. And they wore armor. And When they put on the armor, the first part this talks about is the loins girt about with the truth. This, a lot of times in a Sunday lesson, they call it the belt of truth. And the belt of truth, it surrounds your waist. So it says, the loins girt about with truth. Surround ourselves with the truth. Study His Word. And don't let lies, like don't stay around all these people that are all the time lying. Surround yourself with Christians, with friends that are going to tell you the truth. Then the breastplate of righteousness. This covers our chest area. And our heart is in our chest. So this breastplate, righteousness protects our heart. You know, and righteousness, that this shield, this breastplate, represents holy character, to be like God. So when we're like God and we're Christ-like, it helps protect our heart. It helps our heart be pure. You know, and we're close to God. And our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Think of the gospel as a shoe. It says, have your feet shod. When you think of it as a shoe, in a shoe you walk somewhere. You, wherever you go, that shoe's on your foot with you. This verse is saying, wherever you go, no matter where you are, take the gospel, take the peace, and take the love. Wherever you go, take those things. No matter where you're at, be Christ-like. So you can be an example. We're appointed as ministers. And you don't have to be behind a pulpit. You don't have to sing. You can just be on a ball team. You can be anything to be a witness. The shield of faith, it says, above all, take the shield of faith. Why does it say above all? What would we do without faith? Without faith, when the enemy throws things at us, we would just fall apart. We would just crumble. And it's important to have a lot of faith. And when you go through things, that strengthens your faith. And so that we can be firmly rooted. That way, whenever things, this shield helps protect us. And the helmet of salvation, it goes around your mind. Going back to a weak spot, our minds. Protects us from thoughts of doubt and disbelief and lies of the enemy. Because when we accept these lies of the enemy and start believing them in our heads, then before we know it, we're living under these lies. We're not living under what God says we are. Because it don't matter if you're reading the Word and you're studying, you're praying, you can do that. And then in your mind, you can believe the devil. And what he says about you. And the sword of the Spirit, which goes on, says it's the Word of God. It's the Bible. We can use this to attack the enemy. We can speak and bind him by this. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But also, we can speak blessing and prosperity and strength to our brothers and sisters in Christ with this. And that's about all I have. I'm getting ready to close. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. It says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Like this verse saying, let go of this world. Let go of the sins. You might be afraid to, loose your grip. To just let loose your hold on it and let it go away from you. But a lot of times, that's the better thing to do. And of course it is with sins. Because sins, it's like when you are believing in God, but you still got a sin that you hold on to, that you grasp to, It's like me here, the sin here, and God over here. It stays in between you and God. You can't move it and put it over here and step next to God. It stays right there until you take it out of the way, till you clean it up. It says, flee those things, the sins. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, the characters of God. Seek to be like Him. And, you know, a lot of people might not have a good past, and that's what the enemy will bring up when we try to be like God, when we try to be an example and a witness. He'll try to bring up our past and say, wait, you did this, now you're telling people not to do that. You can't do that because, I mean, you're guilty for it. But that's not true. When you're saved, you're different. You're a new creation. And we're going to have two altar calls, and the first one's, you know, for people that's not saved. You may be going through stuff, but know that you don't need to turn to sins for help and for hope to replace a broken spot in your heart. You can. The only thing that is going to fulfill that is Jesus and God. The second one is for people that are already saved that are going through stuff. And you still can struggle when you're saved through fear, through anything. And Joe Farmer stood up here a couple Sundays ago and said, it's okay to struggle. Yeah. A lot of times when you're a Christian and you're starting to struggle, you get embarrassed and you don't want to come up and say, I'm struggling with this. Mm-hmm. But it's okay, because if you want to be close to God, you got to say, I want this out of my life. I'm giving it to God. He's going to take this away. I ain't just going to fight this all by myself. And at this time, Justin.